You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily podcast on the Minnesota Timberwolves, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Welcome, 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 ladies and gentlemen, to another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. As always, your host here, Colton Molesky, bringing you daily Timberwolves content. You can also check out the Locked On Timberwolves fan rig website that gives you some written content. You can also check out the previous Locked On Wolves podcast as well on that site. Make sure to go on Twitter. Give me a follow at C. Molesky. I have the all kinds of posts, sports articles and stuff like that on my Twitter feed. Go check that out. Go check out the Locked On T-Wolves Twitter as well, where you can grab the shows if you miss them on the FanRake site. Lots of ways to get the content. Don't miss out on any of them. Big game last night for the Timberwolves. They were able to grab a win, a much-needed victory over the Atlanta Hawks, 126-114 at home. A little bit of their backs against the wall, I guess you could say, just because of the bad Grizzlies loss. They really needed to rebound and keep themselves in this playoff race. Boston also helped them out by beating the Jazz on a last-second shot from Jaylen Brown. So the Timberwolves, as of this morning, are in the seventh seed. Here to break it all down. Hasn't been on the show in a while. We've missed him. It's the Flying Hawaiian, Brendan Scarborough, the broadcasting extraordinaire out of Northwestern St. Paul. Brendan, it's been too long, but so happy to have you on the show today.
Yeah, Colton, it absolutely has been too long. And, you know, this is the best part of my day. I'm not going to lie about it. I'll be 100% honest.
You know what? The fact that we can give you the best part of your day this morning is fantastic. It brings joy to my heart. This is why I get up in the morning. This is why I get up is to and do the show, is to give you the best part of your day. It's not for the listeners. It's just for you, Brennan.
It's sad to say that at 10 a.m. because then it's just a slow decline down from here.
Just a slog through the rest of the... You want to just go back to bed after the show?
I'm going to. That's the plan.
One lead change in this Atlanta Hawks game. Everybody wants to talk about Towns. Don't worry, we'll get to that. We'll get to Towns. We'll get to the updated playoff picture. We're always going to update you on the playoff picture because it's a crazy mess in the Western Conference, and so many teams are so tight, and the Timberwolves are so close to the bottom there. It's a little scary, especially after a Grizzlies loss. It's been a little scary, been a little hairy for the Timberwolves, but we'll keep you updated every day here on the Locked On Wolves podcast. We're going to get to that. We're going to get to Towns. But first... just a really good win for the Timberwolves. I thought their defense played really well. Not super happy that the starters played big minutes against a team like the Atlanta Hawks. But again, they needed a rebounding win, and they got it. A really solid performance from a bunch of guys. You had Jeff Teague. He put up 11 points, 8 assists. Kind of a quiet night for him, but slowly kind of grinded away. 17 points. Wiggins has done a good job of at least getting over 15 points, and he's had some shaky performances, but he looked pretty solid on the defensive side of things as well. Overall, just a good job kind of bolstering Towns. I guess it was a great night for the Timberwolves just because they did a good job of kind of supporting and playing role-playing positions around a guy who was having a career night. What did you think of everybody outside of Towns on the Timberwolves the other night?
I think that was really good. And, you know, even though, like scoring production might go down way down for the, you know, other players, you know, you're seeing them help out in other ways. As you said, Teague with 8 assists. You know, you're seeing other guys pick up a little bit more boards. Taj Gibson having a good night with 7 and 7. It's not a lot of scoring, but, you know, he's being very helpful in the sense that, you know, making space, you know, let Towns do his thing. When the man's going off, you know, you feed the hot hand, and that's what they're doing.
No, yeah, and everybody had a positive plus-minus, which is something you like to see. 10 points from Crawford off the bench, 4 assists for him as well. And again, it's not a ton, because Towns has a monster night, but everybody kind of feeling the moment and not trying to jack up a bunch of shots. Andrew Wiggins only had 13 shots, Teague with 12. Gibson only took 4 shots. I just thought it was a good job by the entire team just to have a joint self-awareness. That said, is there a concern for you with a game against the Atlanta Hawks? You have guys like Towns had 41 minutes, Wiggins with 36, Bielitsa with 37, Teague with 30, Gibson with 30. You have a bunch of guys especially Towns and Wiggins, who are pretty key to this team, playing big minutes in a game against a 21-win Hawks team. Does that worry you at all?
Not so much worry, but there's definitely cause for concern in that. You know, with a team like this, you want to stretch them into the postseason. You want to make sure that they're going to be fresh. You're going to want to make sure that they're going to have a lot of energy, because, you know, come later in the year, come this summer, they're going to need to play. They're going to have a lot of minutes. That's going to go up a lot once we get into postseason play. So, yeah, you know, sometimes you're like, hey, you know, maybe, you know, you don't, when you're playing a 21-win team, maybe you don't need to see a guy play 37, 41, you know, 30 minutes. But, you know, I would say I'm not worried about it. You know, I mean, they needed a win after that Grizzlies loss. And, you know, I think, you know, this kind of was just a confidence builder for them.
No, definitely. Like I said, they definitely needed the rebound game from the terrible loss to the Grizzlies. But it's a little concerning that they need Towns and Wiggins to be such a big part of these games when you're playing a team like the Hawks. And so I don't know. I have got mixed feelings about this. Again, at the end of the day, you got to do what you got to do to win games, because it is getting down to the crunch time of the season, and they're still in that only the seventh spot, so there's not a ton of cushion, you know?
Yeah, and, you know, they still got a battle. It's going to be a battle throughout the rest of the year. You know, as you said, with the Jazz, they're kind of going back and forth in that seating there. And, yeah, it's going to be a fight. It's going to be a dogfight all the way to the end.
Speaking of the dogfight, seventh spot, they bumped up over the Jazz, who lost to Boston last night. If you're looking at the teams that are kind of around the Timberwolves, trailing the Timberwolves, vying for those spots, you have San Antonio at 6, 43-32. Timberwolves right there at 43-33. Utah at 42-33. And the Clippers at 41-39 in that ninth spot. Is there any way that the Timberwolves can kind of jump up to the sixth spot and take over that position from San Antonio? Or do you think they just need to keep winning just to stay in that seventh spot? Do you think this is maybe as good as it gets throughout the rest of the season? There's only, I think, what, six games left now for the Timberwolves? So do you think this is about as good as it gets, or do you think they can maybe manage to get into that sixth spot?
Well, I would definitely say, even if you think this is as good as it gets, you know, shoot for the sixth spot. You know what I mean? Like, definitely don't – I would say don't risk injury of players trying to win out the rest of the season. You know, play your game. But at the same time, like, you know, I mean, don't be complacent with the seventh seed. But I think Timberwolves could be better than that, you know. As we saw from last night, you know, they're playing great as a team right now. Chemistry, even if someone doesn't go off for 56, they play really well together as an offense. They look really good. So I definitely think that they could do better than a seventh seed, but I don't think that they should necessarily settle for it.
And I only bring that up, I bring it up, first of all, to keep people updated on this crazy playoff picture that the Timberwolves find themselves in, but I also bring it up because I say I'm worried about the minutes and how it seems like it's kind of a lot, but at the same time, with the bench as thin as it is, if you do want to get to that sixth spot, you're probably going to see these guys, you're probably going to see Towns pull a lot of minutes in these last stretch of games here, and it's going to continue to be that way, where he's got about 39 to 40 minutes just because of the spot they're in and because of the roster depth that they lack. If you're looking at the Timberwolves, is that kind of their biggest weakness that has been fleshed out over the last couple of days? You look at the wins that they've had, and even in the losses, you haven't seen a big contribution from the bench. But in wins against bad teams, you still need such big nights from star players, and you can't really rely on their bench. Is this kind of the scariest aspect of this team, or is it still the defense?
I would say it's a little mix of both. You know, especially with Butler going down, you know, a lot of the production that Butler would share, you know, you're seeing a lot of the star players that are left over needing to pick it up. And, you know, because Butler was the guy who will give you 22 points a night, you know, five rebounds, five assists, a couple of steals. But now you're seeing that shouldered amongst the other stars. And it's a little bit concerning when you're looking at the bench and you're like, you know, it's not so much that there is a drop-off, of course, but it's, you know, it's kind of like, will we be able to weather the storm? Will we be able to come back from this deficit? So, I mean, yeah, it's a little bit of both for me. But it's kind of required, like, you need a big night almost every time, you know, we're playing even like one of the worst teams.
Yeah, and just if you're looking at the guys, brought this up earlier in the week when talking with Matt Bishop on the show, but Crawford, he's kind of the guy as far as scoring for the Timberwolves, but there you have to deal with the poor defense, especially on the perimeter that he has. Tyus Jones, he's a solid defensive piece, but outside of when he was starting for Teague, there wasn't a huge production offensively from him off the bench for the most part. Gorgie's only had some spots where he's been really good offensively. There's been a few games against the Pelicans where he's been really good on offense, but it's been spotty at best. So really thin bench, and it's really kind of showing its teeth, their roster depletion, I guess I would say, or their roster shallowness that they've had to rely on Towns so heavily over this stretch to even be in these games. Really kind of coming bearing an ugly look for the Timberwolves as they head down the stretch. Definitely something to keep an eye on, as I've mentioned before. We're going to head to a break before we really dig into Towns' monster night against the Hawks. First, a word from some sponsors. 56 points, 15 rebounds for Towns. Crazy night. And crazy on all levels. Listen to some of this, Brennan. He shot 32 times last night. That is a career high in shot attempts. And it is the first time that he has hit 75% of his three-point shots when shooting six or more times. He had eight attempts from three-point land, went 6 of 8 from three-point land, 75%. Best shooting percentage of his career from deep when taking six or more three-point attempts. So not only did he set a franchise record with points and a career record in points, he also hit some career marks on his three-point shooting percentage and on his field goal attempts. Crazy night for Towns, feeding the beast. If you're looking at this night, first of all, I think the number one thing that leapt to my mind just over the conversations I've been having with different people over the last couple months is this finally kind of the amount of times you want to see Towns get working during a game. Not obviously, he's not going to shoot 32 times every night, but is this really justified where you want to see him shoot over 20 times a game?
I would be careful with that because, you know, you don't want to creep into the, well, you know, he had a 56-point game last time. You know, why isn't he shooting that well this time? But, yeah, I definitely think this justifies him shooting more. But 20 times a game is quite a bit. But I would still say, yeah, it definitely justifies him shooting more. As you said, career high in shooting percentage, career high in, you know, three-point percentage. You know, playing out of his mind last night. And I think, you know, this isn't even the pinnacle for Karl Anthony Towns. I still think there's a lot left that we haven't seen out of him. But yeah, definitely more shooting. I don't know about 20 times. I don't know if he's at like...
Well, and I only bring it up
because it's dangerous.
I only bring it up because at the end of February, I believe it was a two-week stretch where he averaged like 8 shot attempts per game, and it was way too low. And even with Butler in there, I think there's a way that this offense can run where he and Butler are both averaging about 18 to 20 shot attempts per game. I know you got to cut out from other people, but again, I've said it before, Teague is one of those guys where you know in the first half if he's going to have a good night or not, and if he's feeling it or not. He just shows it early if he's going to have a solid performance. Andrew Wiggins, I think if you have him taking more three-point shots and less shots from inside the arc, there's a way you can cut down on a couple of his shots. And Taj Gibson, he does not need to take a bunch of shots to be an impact player. Like you mentioned earlier, he'll grab rebounds, he'll do other stuff on defense to be an impact player. He doesn't need to take 15 shots as well to make his impact felt on a game. I think you can build an offense to where Towns and Butler are kind of playing off of each other's offense and taking the bulk of the weight offensively and shooting wise. And I really would like to see Towns take right around 20 shots a game, just because I think he's one of those guys that you need to just keep feeding him, because his ceiling is so high and because he can take so many different shots. This is a 7-foot center that shot 8 threes last night. I just think the potential's there.
Yeah, 100%. And like you said, you know, he's a center. So, you know, he could shoot from the inside. He could definitely do post work if he wanted to. Or he could, you know, he could spot up from three. You know, mid-range is really good too. Yeah, he's a great player from all around. And as you said, you know, him and, you know, Jimmy Butler playing off each other would be really well. And, you know, Tom Thibodeau loves the pick and pop, loves the pick and roll. So I definitely think in that aspect too, they could play really well off of each other. It's going to be really exciting to see that going forward.
And I think too that of the unicorns, you think of guys like Anthony Davis, Kristaps Porzingis. I think it's fair to say Towns might be one of the more maligned of that group. Over his short career so far, just you've seen the defensive drop off from Kentucky to the pros. He's had some struggles there. People have questioned his kind of awareness on the floor and what's going on around him. There's plenty of memes earlier in the season that were made at his expense. Does this kind of bring back into focus just what his ceiling is? I think because if you're covering the Timberwolves daily, I think it's easy to see that potential there and that ceiling there. Or even if you're watching as a fan the Timberwolves daily, it's easy to see that there. But from a national perspective, does this kind of bring back into focus that, oh, yeah, this is one of the guys in the NBA who can really have one of those top six kind of NBA player ceilings and kind of realign the narrative around Towns? Do you think this is that type of game? Or do you think it's just people view it as a really good game from a guy who they're not sure of yet?
Yeah, I would definitely say that this definitely, like, reassures them of who Karl Anthony Towns is. As you said, like, he was a little lacking on defense earlier, you know. Court awareness isn't always there. But I think, you know, you put him in the right position, Karl Anthony Towns will thrive and definitely can play with the best of them down low. He can, you know, as we said, play outside. I think this is just reassuring everybody. This guy's a great player. You know, he's for sure an all-star, and he belongs with the best of them. He's playing great basketball right now. And sure, there are times where, you know, he might not seem like, you know, like at his full potential. And sure, no one does all the time. But I definitely think that we're starting to see him grow. And, I mean, we forget that Karl Anthony Towns is not very old. What is he, 20, 21? 22?
He is 22.
He's 22 years old. He could just start buying alcohol like a year ago. So, I mean,
he's
like,
a whippersnapper.
Exactly. He's young. He's like, I mean, he's still maturing. He's still learning the game. And I think this is just showing, I'm telling you, it's not the tip of the ice cap for this guy at all.
Last thing I wanted to touch on before we move on from this monster game. Again, 56 points, 15 rebounds for Karl Anthony Towns against the Hawks in the 126-114 win. I don't want to go over the top and just total recency bias and say, is this the best game that you've ever seen from a Timberwolves player? But there have not been a ton of overwhelming performances from Timberwolves players. Did you know that he actually beat out – the franchise record was set by Mo Williams on a 52-point game, I believe it was, a few years back. I thought it would have been Kevin Garnett or Kevin Love for sure setting that record, but it was Mo Williams he beat out for the franchise record in points scored in a game. But I was wondering, are you ready to throw this into a top 5 or top 10 performance from a Timberwolves player just in a single game? I was looking back at some of the Kevin Love games. The one against the Oklahoma City Thunder in 2012 stuck out to me. 51 points, 17 rebounds. He shot made seven three-pointers, excuse me. And, of course, you have in 2010 the 31 points, 31 rebound game from Kevin Love where he was a monster down low. You have the 45-point, 19 rebound game against the Clippers in 13. Kevin Love's had some great performances. Obviously, Kevin Garnett has had. You could probably make a top 20 list of the best Kevin Garnett games for the Timberwolves. But are you ready to put this game right away into maybe the top 10 games from a Timberwolves player?
You know, I would agree with you, and I would definitely say that this is one of the better games. Because, you know, we don't see a lot of scoring outbursts from Timberwolves players. I feel like a lot of Timberwolves teams, at least I've seen while growing up, you know, have been just, like, really cohesive, like, teams, and rather not so much, like, star players.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, like, last year with, like, Russell Westbrook, you know, him being by himself and no one else really around him, I've never really seen a Timberwolves team like that. It's always fairly well-balanced.
Yeah.
You know, they have, like, a few good players, you know. I would say top 10 for sure. Top 10 for sure. Maybe top 5. I don't know. I haven't watched that much Timberwolves basketball. But, I didn't grow up, like you said, like you were watching Kevin Love, Kevin Garnett. You know, I wasn't really paying attention to them at that point. But I would say top 10 for sure.
Yeah, he took over this game. And I was reading the stats earlier by his teammates, but there wasn't another guy who needed to put up a 20-point game. It was a bunch of guys just role-playing around him and continually feeding him the ball. He was a massive, massive, just dominant force in this game. John Collins just didn't know what hit him. The poor rookie out of Wake Forest didn't know what hit him yet last night. Just a monster game. And I alluded to this earlier when they won a couple games after Jimmy Butler went down, but Towns has done this more over the last couple months than I've seen him do or than I've seen him capable of accomplishing over the first few years of his career, where he really takes over possessions and kind of does the LeBron James thing, where for a couple minute stretch he just knows he's going to be the one who wins everything that he tries, and he's going to win on the boards, he's going to win scoring, he's going to dominate a certain number of possessions in a row. And I don't think he's to the point where it can be whole games multiple times in like a month like LeBron can do, but he took over this game and he just said, I'm going to do whatever I want, and there's nothing you can really do to stop that from happening. And you didn't see that in the first few years of his career, but now you're seeing flashes of it in games, and this is the first time where it's really been an all game, I'm going to dominate, I'm going to be the one who owns every possession here, and he did it. And I think that's really encouraging, and it's kind of a glimpse of, I think, what you'll see from Towns in the future.
Yeah, I agree with you there. And just kind of like, you know, as I said before, even though he's very young, you know, he's learning the game really quick. And kind of like LeBron, you know, did at a younger age too, he has a maturity that goes beyond his age. You know, I think when Karl Anthony Towns has the ball, he plays with the maturity of a veteran, really. You know, and he is still learning. He's still learning a lot of situations. You know, like, I would say, like, LeBron, when it comes to his, you know, playing the playoffs, like, he doesn't have, like, Karl Anthony Towns doesn't have that yet. When it comes to the one-on-one matchup and thinking of, how am I going to beat this big guy? Because, as you said before, he has so many items in his repertoire. It's so easy for him. You know, if the other guy's faster than him, he's going to bang down low. If the other guy's bigger than him and slower, he's going to shoot outside. You know, I just think that he, you know, he has that maturity and he has those weapons, and he is just dangerous on the court. And I don't know. I think Timberwolves fans should be excited that, like, they have another, like, I honestly think he's more well-rounded than Kevin Love was. And even Kevin Garnett, like, I don't think Kevin Garnett could shoot from outside like this guy. So I don't know. He's a really well-rounded player, and he loves it here.
No, yeah, he is just so much fun to watch, and I just think it's a glimpse of what his ceiling kind of is, where he – not that I'm saying he's going to score 50 points a night at some time in the future, but I do think there will be a time where you'll see pretty regularly Towns takes over games and imposes his will like he did the other night on teams that are better than the Hawks pretty regularly, and I think that's what the future holds for him. One last thing I wanted to do before heading out. I'm surprising Brennan. I'm catching him totally off guard here, and I know people love when this happens to them. But Brennan and I, we go back a ways, and we have always talked NBA trades, NBA situations, which guy would look good on what team. I wanted to throw out just a totally random one. Tell me I'm wrong, Brendan. I wanted to throw out a totally random one. This isn't a trade I foresee happening. This isn't even a trade I think would maybe be a good deal for the teams involved just because of what they would have to give up. But I'm just saying, if you could just recreate rosters and throw somebody on a roster with no consequences, tell me I'm wrong. How good would Andrew Wiggins be on the Wizards rim running underneath the three-point shooting of Bradley Beal and Kelly Oubre? I know this is totally random. Yeah, this is totally out of left field. I've been mulling this over. I've been thinking. I got a lot of NBA crazy ideas in my head banging around all the time. This has been in the hopper for about 2 weeks. Wanted to throw it past you. What do you think of that?
I think that'd be really good. I like that a lot. And even like, you know, if you had him, it would be Andrew Wiggins, John Wall. They would have Bradley Beal and Oubre and Gortat on the floor.
That Otto Porter.
That would be a deadly five to have out there. And I think, you know, Andrew Wiggins has, like, at least this season, shown that he's a very prolific scorer. He can score when he wants.
He just doesn't have a three-point shooting tendency. Which has been a little bit of a problem because I think that if you're on the Timberwolves, you want him to shoot more threes more consistently. But on the Wizards, you don't necessarily need him to do that. You can just need him to get to the rim. And I'm not saying that this is a good trade. I'm not saying that the Timberwolves should figure out a way to do this. I think the Wizards wouldn't be able to give up the pieces the Timberwolves would want, and I don't even know what the cap situation would be to make that work. I just have these crazy NBA ideas that I have banging around my head, and I got to flow them past some good friends every once in a while. And so, Brendan, thank you for indulging me. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. And you know what? Hey, I love those.
I knew I could depend on you. And you know what? You vindicated me a little bit. I appreciate it. Thank you very much. And thank you for coming on the show, Brendan. Always good to have the Flying Hawaiian on the show. Make sure to check out the podcast tomorrow where we preview the Dallas Mavericks game. And thank you to all the listeners for tuning in to another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.